Welcome back to Baytown Engage. Today we have two great guests with us who's going to explain controversial information. It's
very controversial.
That's happening in Baytown. We have Nick Woolery, the assistant director, assistant city director. I want to get it right. Okay, what
is it? He is the assistant city manager.
Oh, yes. I apologize. I just
demoted
you.
If we were in government speak, we'd say ACM. Yes. He's the ACM.
Sorry, Nick. And we have Andrea Brinkley, the assistant director of public works and engineering.
You got that right. That was perfect. Right out of the gate. You got that girl power right there.
Welcome to the show.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, thank you.
Do you want to tell them I'm here too?
Oh, I should.
Because they can't see me.
They can't see. We have once again the beautiful, the amazing Jamie Eustace, director of City Library.
She doesn't even know my name.
I don't know.
This is Jamie. I'm out here. I am sitting in on this interview today because the topic is super important. And we started the conversation on Baytown Engage, which is our new virtual platform for community engagement. And hot topic in Baytown right now is Garth Road and Garth Road widening. And we just finished a public comment period, started on September 16th. It ended on October 1st, where we put all the project information up on Baytown Engage. That's baytownengage.com. And we received some public feedback, and we want to take this opportunity to do a podcast so that people can listen and kind of learn more about this project before the shovels and the bulldozers and all that stuff, cones and stuff, hit Garth Road, because there's a lot of concern, there's a lot of frustration, and some excitement about this project. So we have invited two experts here to explain it to us.
Explain the chaos of the city.
Yeah. And when we talk about city chaos, one of the things people always complain about in Baytown is the what?
Traffic.
So, and the main thoroughfare is Garth Road. That's a high traffic area. And in the works, if you've heard this or not, this may be a surprise, so hold on to your chair, widening Garth Road, making it bigger, better, and stronger. And I'm going to ask Andrea first. Why mess with a good thing? I love Garth Road. No, everybody complains, right? Because it takes a long time to get from point A to point B. Why are we going to make it wider? Why is this super important for the city?
So where we are in time now and where we are in time in the future. So growth will happen. More people will come. More cars will be there. More businesses probably. But yet the road, if we don't think about doing anything to it, it'll only stay as wide as it is. And it's two lanes in each direction. And we would like to make it wider to add another lane in each direction. So for three lanes, six lanes across total. But there's also some other improvements that we'd like to make. And as people have probably thought, you know, I need a certain amount of time to get from point A to point B, even when I'm on Garth Road. If I'm trying to get to a restaurant or if I'm trying to go shopping, I've got to think about all those intersections and all the red lights. And so we do have planned intersection improvements. So there's a kind of an engineering-y term called level of service. And I'm going to unpack that. Maybe you get a chance now and later. But basically, we think now that it's not so great in terms of moving you from point A to point B. You could maybe time your travel on Garth Road and not be very excited by the length of time. So we'd like to make sure that we have a reduction in the length of time, but also we would like to make sure that if we anticipate that Baytown's growing, which it is by leaps and bounds, and it's going to be a great place to do business, it's going to be a great place to maybe, what if you have to travel to work there and you just cannot avoid it? We can make that a little bit easier. So not just for shopping and destinations, but it's got to function. Like you can't, you know, have everything stop and start and stop and you're predominantly stopping. So we want everything to work smoothly and have, once you get on that road, be able to go.
In other words, if we don't do something now, it's just going to get worse in the future and it's not going to be good enough for the city. And we didn't just, it's not the four of us sat around in a room and decided this. We have consulted some very smart people, some experts and some studies, and there's a lot of stuff, and it's all on Baytown Engage. You can look at their presentation and the stuff, but a lot,
Jamie,
of...
Yeah, and can I add a little bit of context just to the why? A couple other parts to the why. First of all, we've done a citizen survey with our citizens here in Baytown every year since back in 2012. The top priority every single year has been traffic management, congestion management. And so when you talk about projects like this, and I think people have seen the cost, it's pretty expensive. You know, those aren't things that we can just get up and do. We have to have the resources. And so these things have kind of been in the works. Improvements to Garth have been in the works for a while. Back in 2015, we received approval to get federal funds for this project. And you may be asking, well, we're in 2020 now. What has taken so long? And to be honest with you, when we got the money back in 2015, it really wasn't enough to make any significant difference. And so we really took a concerted effort last year at this time to say, we need to figure this project out. So we hired an engineer. They did what's called a preliminary engineering report, which is kind of getting the project going and getting a feel for what it's going to look like. And then we went back and we were able to get more federal money. And so that's really the why of why we're doing the project now, is we actually have the money to do it. We have a good design in place. And so the timing has kind of come together.
And that's a question that comes up.
Yeah, the question, like, who's paying for? And people worry about, considering right now with what's going on and businesses not making money, we know it's tax dollars. That really answers the question, who's paying for it? But we didn't get enough in 2015. How are we making up the difference?
So part of the difference is a couple months ago, we got approval for another $16 million of federal money. And we only have to match that at 20%. So we put in an extra $4 million. So that's a good bang for the buck for our taxpayers.
Right, right.
We get this major project. And our portion of the project is a much smaller percentage. So that was a huge win for us, and really what got us to really make this real.
Yeah, that's fantastic.
I would say, you know, it should not be lost on folks how hard it is to make the case to get the money. So we all know we pay federal income tax. Where does that go? How do you get it back here to make a difference locally? Something that's going to be felt by everybody. And so that money is competitively fought for. So the case had to be made that Baytown deserved it, that Baytown could deliver. And we had to make the case with all the area cities in the whole Houston metro area who are all making their case. And so I do think that it takes time to develop that. It takes time to get everybody in the room to say yes, and they vote on that. And so if we can say that we were there once and we went back and got more money, the idea is that we will keep on going back for continuing that construction funding. So we have to make our case. And I think that if we'd never go into that room or never go up to that table and say, bring the money here, we might lose out. And so we have taken that opportunity to go get our fair share.
Yeah, I think that's something for the community to definitely know and be proud of, that the local government is fighting for the money and making the case at the table and in the rooms that count. And we won, right?
Yes.
We've got some dollars coming to us, and it's our job to make the most of them.
For a portion of the project. And I think that's going to get into probably another question I know has come up for people, which is, well, you say it's going to take 8 years.
Yes. Everyone's freaking out.
Yeah.
Freaking out. What do you mean?
To be honest, it's a great question. It really is. So part of when we got this federal money, we got enough money to fund phases A and B of our project. So that takes us from I-10 down to just south of Archer Road. So when we talk about, hey, construction is about to happen, that's the only section that people are going to see construction here in the next couple of years. We have to go back out and recompete and get more federal money to get those other sections done. So the 8 years is really an estimate, and it's not that construction is going to happen for 8 years straight. That's just kind of a guess of how long it'll take us to get more money and then do the construction. But the real construction that people will see is kind of those first two phases.
So you're talking 10 to Garth Road, where everything is jam-packed.
Correct.
Every restaurant, the so-called mall, everything is right there. And so they're like, okay, I get that. We have the money. You fought for us. Makes sense. But why congest that area? So how are we going to reroute us? What's going to happen? Because suggestions are make this one way and make that another way.
Yeah, some of the input we got on the public meeting, there was a suggestion, and it's come up before. I've heard it before. I've been working in Baytown for a long time, to make Garth a giant one way and North Main to come back the other way.
Mm.
It's an imaginative solution.
It is an imaginative solution. I just think about, what if you were trying to have a business be viable and you depended on traffic coming in from another, you know, or from both directions? You know, a lot in businesses, who else can you create a critical mass so that somebody that goes somewhere is going to also go to your place and then also go to the next place down the way? And so there's this very kind of beehive kind of approach to businesses. And so one of the, I think, the original thoughts, and many cities did this, they did lots of one-way throughput streets where you kind of forgot about everybody that was being passed by along the way and what happened to those businesses. So how do we examine if that's an appropriate economic development strategy? So we were thinking, just to kind of bring it back to Garth Road, we want to have the density of businesses and that can kind of synergize with each other, but also be destinations. But one of the things that I think is very doable is to build under construction. And so you can build and do your construction under, pardon me, not build under construction, build under traffic. So it's, you would have one half of the road that would be built one at a time. So if you think about other roads around the Houston area, they will put traffic on one section and they will divide that with barriers and then they'll build that half and then we can switch to the other side. And so there is what I call the temporary pain for a long-term gain. And that's that difficulty where we want to provide lots of alternative routes. We want to support businesses and let people know that they're open and how do you access them. That's signage, that's detours, that's a way to kind of message out to the community. And I think that businesses are going to be very proactive and want to tell their customers how to still reach them. So we would run, I think, a little bit into a problem of viability of those businesses. We don't want to do any more, I guess, redirection of their existing business traffic. And the easiest way to do that is to build the road while traffic is still allowed, but maybe not two lanes, maybe one lane.
And since you're adding a lane, right, that gives you mm-hmm. some opportunity. We're actually adding pavement. And under the plan, too, there's a flyover video that's really fantastic that is on Baytown Engage that you can still watch. But in addition to adding a driving lane, we're also talking about adding kind of, I'll call it an amenity lane. Can you talk about that? What's this extra lane going to be?
Are you talking about the trail?
The trail.
Yes. So, you know, I think anybody who's driven up and down Garth Road can tell that it was probably maybe not the most well-designed corridor. You know, it was designed before the days of making things pedestrian friendly were really popular. And so, you know, Andrea mentioned intersections. There's a lot of major intersections on Garth. There's no crosswalk. That's not a good thing
to
have.
It's not safe. That doesn't scream safety.
No. There's not continuous sidewalks along the whole entire corridor. So we have the ability, thankfully, with this project to make sure there's a sidewalk all the way on one side, and the other side will have a 10-foot shared use path. So bikes, walkers, runners, whatever, can use one side of the road, which is a really great feature for this project.
Yeah, it's a great build-in. And people have been commenting that they have a concern that what's going to happen to the drainage ditches. Everyone in this area is always worried about flooding. So is it going to make it flood more? Are you going to cut into the green space and the drainage ditches? But I know the engineers are super smart, and they've already thought of that.
And losing parking lots. They're worried about that as
well. Oh, cutting into the parking lots. Lots, yeah.
It's going to look better. Let's put it that way.
Yeah.
Well, the open ditches will go away, and we will have accommodated for that in either off-site drainage. So there's a fair amount of detention and off-site kind of solutions in order to make that happen within that Garth right-of-way. So we're looking beyond the right-of-way to areas, and we're already talking to Harris County Flood Control and just other agencies that help kind of hold the key to the success of the drainage solutions, and we've received lots of yeses already. And so I foresee that being a very doable thing, but also just thinking about how we design a road that doesn't flood, that doesn't, you know, maybe this is also a way for us to get in and out if there is an emergency of some kind. So we think about that. We want to make the point that it seems like all these parking lots kind of like scrunch up to the road, but what can we envision? So all of the water and wastewater utilities will go kind of in easements, and then we will have larger underground drainage that would be even more conveyance, more water can fit in those systems than in the roadside ditches. So that's improving water moving out and away from the road so that we can keep that area from being in the flood situation.
Yeah,
and we're designing to Harvey standards.
That so, 1,000-year you know, flood, the biblical flood level.
We unfortunately have that experience, but it'll be beneficial here because we're going to design to that standard. And in general, throughout the project, especially compared to a project of this size, Andrea can talk to this, but we are taking very little land to make this project happen. So where you see parking lots exist today, 99% of the cases with this project, they're going to stay exactly where they're at.
And some people wrote in about their own private property, like, hey, my fence isn't that far from Garth Road. Are you going to cut so far in that I'm going to lose my fence? I'm going to lose part of my yard. I think there's a little bit of fear about that.
Well, I think that it's a healthy question to ask, right? I mean, how detailed are you thinking about this project? And it's kind of a good thing. I just got off the phone not too long ago with our engineer for the project, and we were examining seeing some of our detailed sketches, and we actually talked about, well, what if there are signs in the right-of-way, or what if a fence or a swimming pool or something like that is very, very close? And so we will be going through a very, very detailed survey. We'll be identifying anything that may be something that we need to talk about the property owner. You'll have that opportunity. We will be, you know, thinking about it this way. We are not going to go without talking and basically having an opportunity to either write each other back and forth or have a conversation, because I've already tried to count how many parcels there are and how many entities that we'll have to have a conversation with. And we just can't do this type of project without talking to everybody that touches the project. So I think it's a reasonable expectation for everybody to expect us to come talk to you. And that if we don't talk immediately, that you want to check in with us, we'll absolutely go look at the details pertaining to your property and try and set some information, you know, send it to you and, you know, kind of put you at ease that either there is going to be something that we need to do or there isn't going to be something that we need to do.
So the first public meeting was just the tip of the iceberg, the one that was virtual and on Baytown Engage. People could comment, but it's not over, right? We still need to engage with people and make plans.
This is so early. Yeah. We have to continue to have that. It's something else that we've kind of thought about is that this is a conversation. So we are going to have a, you know, public meeting that meets a certain federal milestone for the environmental process. But a road project like this doesn't have to go on with, you know, radio silence. So what's an effective way to have a conversation? And it's to allow people to continue to ask questions and then respond back with those answers. And, you know, it's just part of our job to answer what concerns people have. So hopefully they begin to see that the answers are actually being built.
With all that in place and anxiety is high about it, because I think it's happening tomorrow, and it's clearly not happening right now.
Not tomorrow.
Correct.
Probably not next week.
Freak out central. So what are we looking at when it comes to estimated start and those conversations, and also the other thing of, well, nothing else is finished. You know, North Main is still working on the other end of it. Mm-hmm. So when are we looking at a start time for this? We know the end date is estimated, let's say, 8 years, only from 10 to Archer. When are we planning to start? What's the estimated start on that?
Well, we should actually address the which section and that first section from I-10 to Archer probably won't take 8 years to build.
Okay.
So it's going to be, when we think about the whole extent, so let's just say roundabout from I-10 to 146, right? That's a huge section. It'll take 8 years in chunks, so in phases, to build that. So this first two phases that we're talking about, we call it phase A and phase B, that we're going to be talking about to south of Archer, that may not take all of that 8 years. So it's a good section, and I'm not going to, you know, I don't know enough now to say it's going to take exactly, right, you know, 24 months out of that 8 years. But that's what we think reasonably it'll be, maybe a smaller portion of that 8 years, right? So 2 to 3 years. The earliest things that you're going to start to see out there are us moving the water and the sewer lines. So there'll be work on the outside of the, you know, kind of edges of the street. And then that will be the first thing that has to go, is that's kind of in the way. So we need to kind of move that out to the outside. And you can not see my hands moving.
She's very gently pushing the water and sewer lines out of the way.
And then that leaves us the room to be able to widen the road and work that in halves. So I talk with my hands all the time. Sorry, guys, you can't see that. But basically, there'll be some early activity out there. And that's the kind of, you'll see pipe along the side of the road, and you'll see some work being done at manholes, that sort of thing.
When she says early, the first people will see actual construction going on is probably early 2022. So we haven't even started the full, what we call full design. That's going to start here this fall. It'll take a whole year. And so that's where the dialogue with the community will continue. But actual construction on the ground, people won't see anything until the beginning of 2022. And I think that will be helpful with some of the concerns on North Main and, you know, potentially other construction. We know there's construction with the on and off ramps between John Martin and Garth right now. All of those projects that people are seeing will be done before the Garth Road project starts in construction.
I think that's the biggest concern, is like, is all this happening at the same time? And clearly the beginning won't even feel any pain, because it's just going to be little things happening.
And we're talking about it now because we really do want to get a lot of feedback. So people kind of feel like, well, you're going to go out tomorrow and start construction. No, we want to start really early, be very thoughtful about this, and you won't see any construction. It probably won't be late 21. It'll probably be early 2022 that people will see any construction out there on the ground.
That's good to know.
Yeah, no, we're starting the conversation information early and mm-hmm. getting the right information to people. One of the other things, and two, I do think people in their mind, when you say Garth Road widening project, picture from Decker to I-10, cones, bulldozers, you know, everywhere. Yeah. And that's not the case in this project. So I think that'll make a lot of people have less anxiety. A little anxiety around North Main, right? And mm-hmm. people don't quite understand that it's also a process. And there's mm-hmm. been a lot of complaints about the condition of the pavement. And one of the questions was definitely like, is Garth Road going to be like North Main when you're done, right?
No.
You want to no. And the answer is no.
No, and there's really good reasons for that. And, you know, one thing that we looked at in the preliminary design for Garth Road, originally, we were just going to go in, and this is part of what we learned from what was asked for in 2015. Back then, the people who asked for that money thought, well, we'll just add some pavement on each side and we'll be good. And it doesn't really work that way. So as our engineer, and we have a really great consulting engineer that we're working with, as they did the analysis and factored in the drainage, they realized you can't do that. And so we're actually fully, not just widening, we're fully reconstructing Garth Road. So all the pavement you see today will be gone. It'll be all brand new pavement. So that will be totally different from North Main. North Main's a little different case because we don't have federal money, and we all know we don't have unlimited local tax dollars. And so we're doing what we call a pilot project out there. We have a lot of concrete roadways in Baytown, and we wanted to try something different to rehab a long stretch of road without having to spend the tens of millions of dollars to fully reconstruct it. And so that's kind of the main difference between those two projects.
And in the end, from everything I know, North Main is going to be smooth as glass when it's actually done. It just hasn't gotten to that point yet.
That's
yeah,
right.
we're still working on it.
We're not done. And this is an important thing to kind of think about. Each road has its own story, right? And each road, we have different funds, and we have to think about the way we have the maintenance tools to apply. You know, what do we have in our toolbox, right? What's the fix? We can't have one type of fix for every single road kind of problem that we have. You know, there's a lot more to talk about. You know, we want you to look forward to. There's going to be some street reconstruction on Rolling Brook. So that road, you know, it's got great grand trees. You know, what's going to happen with that concrete? What's going to happen? You know, how do we fix that road? How do we budget for those things? So these are the things that rattle around in my brain all day. You know, how do we kind of approach the problems with the right tools all the time? And not every road has to be reconstructed. I think we're going to hopefully see, you know, this pilot project, you know, it takes guts to try something new, but it also is a very good application of limited funds. So this next, I guess, phase that we're going to be seeing will be the application of some grinding to that, we're going to call it old and new surface, to make it more uniform to the driving, you know, to the feel of how you're driving that road. So I think that in terms of timing, we'll have a separation of when all these projects are happening, but I'm here to kind of say there's a capital program afoot, and there's going to be buildings going up, and there's going to be road projects going on. And just know that we think about how many things we do in a small area and how many things that we do that require traffic detours that, you know, I too, you know, I'm human just like everybody else. And I've been, you know, kind of stuck in my own, you know, project detour going, okay, I just turned here and I turned here. And is this really working? And I kind of drive them myself and make certain that, you know, if people are trying to go from point A to point B, we haven't hemmed everything up and made it more difficult. So know that we're thinking about the practicality of moving around the city.
I think we just got a behind-the-scenes look into the brain of... I think we're going to call you Queen of the Road. That's a song. We could maybe
get on a T-shirt. Yeah. You need to wear that.
You're the Queen of the Road. But it is important for people to know. You know, a lot of times local government, people think, what are you doing? You're making my life harder. But to really know, we are working to make your life easier. It just takes a lot. It's a lot of resources, a lot of thinking, a lot of planning, a lot of collaboration. So,
that's true. And it's good that you're being very transparent about it. People tend to think, well, I don't know what's going on. And you're answering all the questions. You want the feedback. And that's really, really important. So no one can really say now, well, they didn't answer any question. Well, they answered all the questions.
Do you know where they can go to get more information?
Jamie, where can they go?
Even after they listen to this interview?
BaytownEngage.com.
And not just this project. Garth Road is up there, but also there's some more street projects going up there. That's kind of our platform to give people all the information and let them give us feedback and ask us questions and tell us their thoughts and ideas. So if you've not been there yet. What was it, Arlene? What was the?
BaytonEngage.com.
That is correct.
That's right.
It's great. It's actually very, very professional. I think we've gotten a lot of compliments, and things like this make it easier, right? So I appreciate the opportunity to be able to talk and share.
Yeah. No, we love it. You guys are great guests. Is there anything else that you want to tell people about Garth Road or any road or?
Well, there's one other question that if it hasn't already come up, I think it may have, but it probably will at some point. And that is why, especially people who have lived in Baytown a while, why are you putting medians back on the Garth Road?
So we can talk about that because the plan, I think, is for continuous, did I say it right? Continuous medians. And I know what continuous means and I know what a median is, but when I put those two words together, I really have to struggle my brain to picture it. Do you want to talk about the continuous median?
So I guess I'll just talk about the reasoning. As the corridor was studied, the number of accidents on Garth Road and particularly fatality accidents is at a much, much higher rate than other roadways in the Houston area.
I was shocked. That graphic is actually part of the presentation that's on the website. Yes. And when I said, what are all those red dots and their fatalities? And I was shocked that there are that many.
Yes. So the medians are for safety, primarily for safety. You know, obviously, as we have opportunities to make them look nice, we do that. But their purpose is for safety. And so, you know, I know for some people that may be frustrating. They want to just fly out into that center lane.
Yep.
It will take away a little bit of that convenience. But, you know, the engineers are thoughtful in how those are designed. And it'll create a new pattern of traffic on Garth Road eventually. But that's kind of the reason that they're going in is it's 100% a safety reason.
Yeah,
it was it kind of made me step back to when I was looking at the statistics. When you think about where we compare just on our Garth Road in Baytown to the state, and that's all other roads like Garth Road, and we're high on that statistic. You think, well, that really calls for us to do something. Mm-hmm. You know, the call to action isn't just that there's an isolated, you know, I just happened to be on Garth Road and I was driving to, you know, Chick-fil-A or we're driving to a restaurant or something like that, and I saw an accident and the fire truck had to come out and do something with that car. I think that we would all say that that is something that we can all have it, we've just all experienced it. Well, that's just people getting, you know, in a small maybe fender bender or maybe, you know, they're slightly hurt. But when we can see all those things adding up, we should do something about it. And if we have the funding help to do that, why not make that, you know, change? And it's going to mean a behavior change for us. So we're going to think about looking at, well, how do I exit this, you know, gas station? Or how do I maybe go through the shared parking lot and get out to this intersection the right way?
Yeah, to use a light. Yeah. Correct. I'm a big fan of using the light to turn left.
Right. And I think we can all say that we've been frustrated by, you know, maybe somebody that didn't have as much maybe thought process about where were they trying to go. And, you know, where maybe we got cut off and then there was a little bit of like, you know, flared tempers. And so we want to also kind of like keep that down to say, all right, once we all function in a different way, it'll become a new habit and a new way of being. And it hopefully nobody has to give their life, right, to just drive on Garth Road.
And overall, it's for our safety. We've been asking for it. I guess we forgot we asked for it.
Yeah.
You're trying to fix it.
Yeah. And when you frame it that way, I would like you to start tomorrow.
Yeah.
Go ahead and fix that now.
Yeah.
And, you know,
but at night.
Correct. Right. You know, one other aspect that we've heard a lot is really making the city look better. And so the city council has really been pushing for, you know, a lot of these overhead electrical and telecommunications lines that where we have the opportunity, we get those cleaned up. And so our engineer did evaluate, you know, could we just bury all the electrical lines and all the telecommunications lines along Garth? And the answer is sort of.
That's better than no.
Right. The electrical is far too expensive to do that. And so they will be cleaned up. There will be brand new poles. Most likely be concrete poles. You know, the span of those poles will be hopefully as wide as we can get them. So that'll be cleaned up. And then the telecommunications lines, which if you're driving down Garth, all those low-hanging, dark black lines, those are all the telecommunications lines. They're usually the ones that look really ugly. Those are all going to be buried during this project. So if anything, that's going to clean up the corridor a little bit and make it look better.
It'll be aesthetically pleasing.
I'm excited.
Yeah, now we're excited.
Yeah.
Now, who could not love this now?
Yeah, that's right. Should love it.
Well, don't forget, this is possibly another opportunity for public art, too. That's something that made me think about when you said, you know, we also want it to be better looking, right? So there's the potential for growing something green in the median, maybe.
Sure.
Also to sprout some art out there, right? So we can kind of identify with, you know, our love of Baytown K-Town by having Garth Road become a representation of what's positive, not what everybody kind of groans about, right?
Yeah. So. Yeah, and we want people to, like I said, go to BaytownEngage.com, keep sharing those comments. If they've got ideas on public art or different ways we can make the corridor look better, please let us know.
The good thing about the website is when they go to the project, they can contact you, Andrea, directly to ask you questions, and there's always someone there monitoring what's going on.
That's right. I'm listed there, but also the project manager, he's on my staff, Juan Macias. So either way, either one of us will have that, you know, so we can back each other up. And so that we understand that we're going to be continually kind of intaking those comments and, you know, we're not going anywhere. So it'll be something that you can always find us. And if, you know, we can hopefully, you know, get back to you and reach out to you.
Sounds good.
Good. I'm so glad you guys took the time today. This is a
thank you.
Good information to have out there. I think this will be a series. It'll be the Garth Road series as over the next few years.
We'll keep updating. You didn't know? It is. This is just a comeback at every phase and talk to us about
it. It's like a soap opera.
You could just have a road podcast.
Thank you so much for listening to Baytown Engage. Be sure to subscribe to our show on Podbean, Apple, and Spotify. Stay tuned.